The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. It's Sunday morning. We run from 8 to 10. Hey, just want to let you know that if you want to give us a call, the number is 530-605-4567. If you want to stream live or join our chat room, go to readingteaparty.com and click on the radio link. And on that page, you will find everything that you need to know about this show. Our great technician, Robert, has done a fabulous job of putting all of the archives from our past shows, information about future shows, our sponsors, all-inclusive, everything you need to know you can find out by going to that page. And that's the way to kind of click into the show if you don't want to actually pick up the phone and give us a call. So today we've got some interesting guests, and we're hoping that one is going to be calling us from Europe sometime soon.
Like right away. Yeah, we've got an interesting lineup for you today. We've got two different topics, which is new for us. Typically we do one topic. But we have Michael Prell. I'm going to read you a little bit about him in case when he calls us. I don't know if he's speaking or traveling or goofing off or what, but he was somewhere over in Europe. Michael Prell is a writer and a strategist for Tea Party Patriots. He's a Polly Award-winning advertiser who has served Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Sorry, I'm having trouble actually reading through the microphone. It's more opaque than I thought. Canada's Prime Minister Stephen Harper and hundreds of conservative leaders on four continents. Michael Prell has also worked with the Dalai Lama, Dr. Phil, and the global Chinese dissident community. That alone actually is kind of noteworthy. What a range. Dalai Lama, Dr. Phil, and the global Chinese dissident community.
That pretty much covers everything.
I was going to say, what's left? He was a crisis manager during the Northeastern blackout of 2003. He writes for Fox News, CNN, The Washington Times, Townhall.com, Daily Caller, American Thinker, and his writings have been featured by Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and Top Linked on the Drudge Report. So he's all over the place, and he has written a book called Under Dogma. And you're going, what? Under Dogma, How America's Enemies Use Our Love for the Underdog to Trash American Power. And my husband, Bill, heard him on the radio on probably Armstrong and Getty there out of Sacramento, and just, he said, hey, you got to get that guy on there. It's a cool book. It's a cool idea. Really makes you think. And so we got a hold of our people called his people, and they said he would jump on with us this morning. So pretty interesting stuff. And the second hour, just so you kind of know what's coming, we have Diane Lenning. Diane ran for the California Superintendent of Schools in 2010. She, needless to say, she didn't win, and here is why. She believes in the U.S. Constitution so much that she wrote a book in 2004 encouraging every American to get a copy and memorize the Constitution. Of course, that has somewhat fallen out of vogue, especially in the educational community for the most part. Diane also entered law school in order to stand for the constitutional rights of Americans. She also passes out constitutions from time to time on the campaign trail, so I'm sure that set her apart from the other candidates. She's a very strong Christian, 30 years of teaching experience, believed in returning vocational education to the California schools and helping critical student dropout rates in the schools. Just has a great bio on here. I would encourage you to read the rest of it. She is involved in politics. She was involved in the unions. she speculates how much good the teacher union dues of over $211 million that are spent in the political arena in recent years would do if the money were used in the classrooms.
And, you know, just another point about our media page, we include links to any websites or areas of interest that our speakers have. And with both Michael Prell and Diane Lenning on that media page, there are links to interviews that they've done. So great opportunity to get all of their information firsthand without having to search the internet for it. We provide it all to you.
Absolutely. I had to get a good absolutely in there first thing this morning.
So before we take our first break, give a little shout out to our sponsors. We've got North State Tax Consultants. Mark Kent and his sister Linda and his wife Linda are fabulous.
As we call them, the Lindas.
The Lindas. They have no personal identity of their own.
No, they are just the Lindas.
They're the Lindas.
Hello, the
Lindas. They're really great at actually keeping your money rather than helping you find ways to give it to the government. They're very good at helping you keep your money in your pocket, and Mark's very well versed in tax law, and that's kind of where it all, you know, the rubber hits the road on the tax situation.
So hey, but I saw on a commercial or something that you can actually do your taxes through the IRS online.
Oh, there's an opportunity.
It's called like, I'm wrong, but it's called like Free Tax or something like that. So you can have the IRS prepare your tax,
ooh,
and it's so much faster. I'm thinking, wow, I wonder why.
Hey, there's an opportunity for you.
I thought, are you kidding me? Does anybody really do that?
God, I hope not. Anyway, the number for Mark and the Lindas is 221-0101, and we've got Miller Auto Transport, and Bill Miller and his folks have been in the auto industry for over 40 years, and he's kind of transformed over the years, and what he does now and has been doing for about the last 10 is he transports vehicles. So that's anything on four wheels, and even if it doesn't have wheels, if it's a luxury boat, if you need to go overseas with your vehicle, cross country. He does a lot of military vehicles, so he keeps pretty busy, actually. I was surprised at what a great business he's got going. So Miller Auto Transport, if you buy, Cool April Nights is coming up or was this weekend. And so if you are in the car business or like to collect them and work on them, he's the guy to call.
And or they are really cool cars and you don't want to just drive them on the highway and get, you know, paint chips and all the rest of the stuff that happens on the highway.
Yeah.
You could have it taken to the next car show.
Absolutely. So that, and again, all that information is on our media page. And then we've got our little fancy lube stuff.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, it's the
all temp tactical lube.
And you know,
I'm like their cheerleader.
Yeah, you love that stuff.
I do.
Jim and Nancy Myatt kind of created this in their garage, and they work with their kids in promoting it and marketing it. But basically, for all of our military personnel overseas who are dealing with extreme temperatures on either end, they need their guns to work. They need to be able to load and unload, and they need it. You know, that's not a position where you want something to jam up. So they created a formula that keeps their guns working really efficiently. But you can also use it on, studio microphones. I've actually used it. You know, your automatic garage door opener? I don't know if yours ever sticks.
Yeah, the squealy one.
Yeah, yeah. And I do WD-40, but that's temporary. So I used the lube.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a little note here on the media page, special offer. Buy one bottle for a soldier, and they will send you two additional bottles to any AP military address free of charge. Cost of the bottle is $39.95. So that's a sweet deal. They got an 800 number, and you can catch them online and stuff like that.
And, you know, it's just the great all-American story about
inventing something in your garage that helps a lot of people.
How many people have done that? And they're doing really well with it. They go to all the gun shows and promote it, and they've got a lot of samples that they share with people so they can try it. So,
plus they're nice.
It's, yeah, really nice people.
Yeah, things are happening. We have lots of folks pitching in on the radio program. Oh, I forgot to tell you, when I was at the Capitol on Monday for the immigration rally before they killed AB 26 in committee and no short, you know, just slashed it and killed it. I was out on the steps of the Capitol, and a guy walked up to me, and he said, "Hey, I recognize your voice." And I'm like, "What?" And he goes, "Don't you do a radio program on Sunday morning?"
Yeah.
I go, "Yeah, another lady and I do in Redding. Do you live in Redding?" And he goes, "No, I live in Sacramento, but I listen to you guys online." You guys have had some really cool people on there, and I thought, we've got people listening all over the place, so that's very cool.
And we do stream worldwide.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we can pull in whoever we want from wherever we want and reach any audience we need to. So for those of you out there thinking, well, I wish they'd have so-and-so on there, you need to let us know.
Yeah, we actually, a lot of our speakers have come from suggestions made by people. So definitely.
Because animals can't talk.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, under the bus before 8:15. I am so bad. Hey, you know, we're going to take a little break here and pray that Michael Pearl calls us here momentarily. Otherwise, we will move on to bigger and better. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
I hear people talk bad about the way we have to live here in this country.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Hey, my thought, you know, when I'm listening to the words bringing the show back in about talking bad about the country we live in, my personal thought has always been, if you don't like it, you can always go live somewhere else. There, I said it. Politically incorrect yet again. Hey, before we bring in one of our speakers, I wanted to talk a little bit about our Monday night evenings, or our Monday evening meetings that we have at the Bonneville Baptist Church. Every Monday night at 6 o'clock, the Reading Tea Party meets at 2570 South Bonneville Road. And, you know, that location has been pretty fabulous for us. We started at the Holiday Inn and quickly outgrew that location, and we've been at the Bonneville Baptist Church now for a year. One of the reasons that it works so well for us is because there is a separate building full of brand new classrooms, and we're very action-oriented at the Reading Tea Party, and we believe in projects and making a difference, and we have what we call breakout groups. Just wanted to give you an idea of some of the things that we do once we're done with our general meeting, which usually covers speakers and, you know, housekeeping details. But, you know, we're sort of famous for all of our breakout groups and all the projects that we have going. And all things are kind of pertinent to what's going on around us today at every level. We have a group that specifically talks about local politics. We have people that go out to all the local meetings, from school board meetings to city meetings to county meetings. In any given week, you will find representatives from the Tea Party at a variety of meetings all around the local area. And we also head to Sacramento on an occasional basis to attend meetings down there. So we're very proactive in getting the folks out there, getting them involved and getting them informed. So if you've got any interest in that, we've got a pretty good group doing that. We have a group that focuses on land issues, water issues, personal property rights. That's pretty much the foundation of our country. That's what makes this country great. So we've got a group of folks that explore and delve into those issues specifically. We have, I'm going down our list here on our website, we've got a great group.
Mark Kent,
yes. We've got survival and preparedness. Now, it's no secret that I think survival and preparedness, long-term food storage, it's kind of becoming hip. You know, we've been doing it now for 2 or 3 years, trying to promote it, trying to get people to think about preparing for a disaster of any kind. And let's face it, before the country had the Industrial Revolution, that's what we did. We lived on our land. We made the land work for us. We ate off the land. We didn't have a corner grocery store or a local gas station. And I think Nate, our sound engineer, wants to weigh in on this particular
right
issue.
I think getting prepared is really important, because when you're going to need it and want it, it's not going to be there. Just like the radiation from Japan, there's big panic for potassium iodine.
Yeah.
And it's can't find it.
Yeah, and that's what happens. Exactly. And if anybody was paying attention, the grocery store shelves in the grocery stores in Japan were empty within 4 hours.
Yeah, even in America, they're selling out. I couldn't find it in Reading, so I had to order it, and I didn't get it for 3 weeks.
Wow.
And so, and I think they ran out really quick again.
Yeah.
So you just have to be prepared. You have to already have it, because when the crisis hits, it's going to be gone.
Yeah. So we've got a great group, the breakout group that handles that specifically. And I would say that's probably one of our biggest groups that meets on Monday nights, is the survival and preparedness. I think we probably have 40 or 50 people in that group alone. We've got
and have had for a year and a half.
Yeah, yeah, and so
nobody gets bored, because the topic of survival and preparedness covers everything.
It really does. And so my point in bringing this all up is that there really is something for everyone. We're huge supporters of our veterans. I would say 60% of the folks that join us on Monday nights are veterans, and Linda Kent heads up our veterans group. She's got her fingers in anything and everything that has anything to do with veterans in Shasta County. She does an outstanding job and represents the veterans of the Tea Party group really well. And she keeps us informed of what's going on.
Well, and gives outreach opportunities not only to the veterans groups, but to the folks in our group. I mean, probably half our group are veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are lots of different groups, and they're sort of specific. And we sort of hit a lot of things. We're a little bit more of a broad brush, which is nice.
Yeah.
So if they need help on a food drive, or they need help on a, you know, especially with all the different projects with Missing in America Project and things like that. And I, I'm looking at our chat room, and I guess, I don't know, related but unrelated, my stepdad is a veteran, and he has been he's the oldest living paraplegic vet in the state of California. Been in a chair like 53 years.
Wow.
Heck of a guy. He's done all sorts of amazing things. Linda Kent writes in here that the tactical lube works great for wheelchair wheels. I thought, oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
I had to get him some, take it down there.
Oh, there
He's
you go.
He's the master. He would know. He's a pro on that
and
stuff.
And, you know, if you haven't joined our website, you might want to take a look at it. It's all designed to be a social network website. We don't monitor what everyone does. I mean, if somebody gets completely out of whack on their comments, you know, we'll kind of rein them in a little bit. But for the most part, this particular website is kind of run by the people that participate in it, and it's always stock full of information. The folks that dial into this website are really good about keeping other listeners, other watchers, other contributors really informed about things that are going on. So it's pretty all-inclusive.
I know that some people are frustrated on the website. It's like, who is this person or that person, and why are they saying what they're saying? And that is just craziness. We need to make them stop doing that. People are going to think we think that way. And it's like, well, at least people are going to think we think.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not everybody's deal, but, you know, the First Amendment
applies to everybody.
See, hold on. What's the note? The First Amendment. I put a little note on here hoping that people would read it and stop calling me and to tell me this, that they were annoyed. But the First Amendment freedoms can also be frustrating. Note, the users on the site post their own opinions. Feel free to add yours.
Yeah, there you go.
We have some good little back and forth on here, and you know, we've only had war break out, you know, two or three times right there.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, after almost 2 years of an open website, most of them you go to, the comments are moderated and everything's moderated, and this is just sort of a big free for all. So if you haven't jumped on there, or if you have jumped on there, and you're like, who's Steve's worldview? He just bugs me.
Steve definitely stays on top of things.
He does, but he changes sides all the time, which people find frustrating. So, you know, they'll play along.
You know, another thing about the coverage of the Tea Party movement, we've got groups in how many counties now? 4 or 5 counties? 10, 12
different for what?
Towns? All of our Tea Party groups? Gosh.
I don't everywhere.
Know. Everywhere.
After all that redistricting meeting yesterday, you think we'd be county, you know, map professionals.
But we've got Mount Shasta.
Well, Wairika and Mount Shasta, both in Siskiyou County. You've got Modoc County. You've got Lassen County with Chester.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Yuba County with the Sutter Buttes guys. We've got Glenn County, Tehama County, and we've got Corning and Red Bluff and
Klamath.
Here. And
we've got Klamath Falls.
Klamath Falls, you're right. And when they're in Oregon, so we got a whole
Crescent
other state.
City.
That's a whole different
yeah,
state.
Yeah, that's another state. Crescent City.
Crescent City. And
Lookout, Bernie, Fall River.
Yeah.
Red Bluff.
Yeah.
Corning.
Tons of people.
Yeah.
And everywhere we go, you know, it was interesting. Monday when we went down to the immigration rally, the AB-26 rally, now here are these two assemblymen from the San Diego area had written this legislation, and you guys probably heard them last week. If you didn't, jump on the archive and go listen to them. They did a great job. And they wanted to have a rally on the steps of the Capitol. It wasn't, you know, with a band and not that kind of rally, but, you know, a specific mm-hmm. release of legislation type rally. There were probably 100 people on the steps of the Capitol, and there were 20 people there from Reading.
Yeah.
You look around, you're like, okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
We show up. I mean, the
yeah,
folks up
do.
Here show up. And people are starting to really figure that out. You know, Brian came up and spoke to our Monday night meeting because he's like, Sam Paredes from Gun Owners mm-hmm. of California, who mm-hmm. I saw last night at a dinner, and he said hi to everybody. He said, yeah, you got to get a hold of those guys up there because they show up. They bring the numbers and they show up.
Well, you know, it's like we were setting up the four person from the grand jury to come talk to us. And it was funny because when I was talking to him on the phone and getting him all set up to join us on a Monday night, he said, well, how many people can I expect? And I said, well, let's see. It's winter. It's kind of cold. Gets dark early. It's raining. We don't get as big a turnout on a winter night as we do in the summer. So, I don't know, 300. And I could hear him drop the phone and pick it back up.
well, you know the thing I find? They always think we're kidding.
Yeah.
They always think we're just like inflating the numbers and lying about it. And then they show up and they go, oh, there's like a lot of people here. I'm like,
well, yeah, that's what we told you.
That's what we told you we're going to do. Yeah, funny.
Yeah.
So, you know, folks, for all those of you that are going, well, why don't you just introduce Mr. Prell instead of leaving him on hold? Well, Underdogma apparently has been, I don't know, captured somewhere in Europe, either by fun or folly, I'm not sure which, but we have been unable to source him out in the free world. So we've got a little time to mess around with. We'd like to hear what you guys think and your call-ins. We don't typically have a ton of call-in. You guys just tune in on Sunday mornings to hang, drink coffee, and listen, but today it's all you, or you're going to have to listen about the redistricting meeting.
And you know what I'd like to do is I want to just real quickly promote a few meetings coming up this week that...
Well, you'll have to call in.
I have to call
in? She's like
in.
Looking at me. Okay, I'm just kidding.
But how am I going to do that when I'm like sitting right next to you? Hey, hand me my cell phone.
I saw the wheels turning.
Yeah. Like, what the heck are you talking about?
I got coffee earlier than you did this morning.
Hey, so, yeah. So a real important meeting is go to the Board of Supervisors meeting this Tuesday morning. That's been really colorful lately. I guarantee you a good time. So
yeah,
Board of Supervisors, 9 o'clock. If you know where the big coconut trees are on Court Street, that's where you want to go. 9 o'clock.
In the land of arborists, they call them palm trees.
Yes, I know. I like to make my little jokes. So Board of Supervisors, we have on April 13th, which is Wednesday morning, bright and early, let me see, 10 o'clock in the Shasta College downtown, the old Reading Mall, we're going to have a meeting about redistricting for the supervisors. So they're considering changing where our supervisors, you know, where their districts are. So that's going to be kind of important.
Oh.
To attend 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning. And again, if you go to readingteaparty.com, all the stuff is listed on the front page, and you can find out about those meetings. But if you live here and you care about the community and you want to know what's going on, you need to go to the meetings. You don't have to know anything.
Or watch them online. Robert's got them all online, too.
Yeah.
So if you live out of town, plug in that way. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with you. You can call us. You gear your phone up there, 530-605-4567. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
A vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at millerautotransport.com.
Don't let them kick your neighbor off his land. This is where we gotta make a stand. The stewards of this land are mom and pop. The government couldn't run a soda shop. I said freedom, freedom.
Oh, I love your music. Good job, Bill. Good job, Aaron. That's
it's Michael
awesome.
Smith. It's Michael Smith from Corning. Hey, kid, keep playing. Just all the way to the end. We got a 30-second blip.
I say you need to pay attention.
Now that's actually one of our Tea Party Patriots.
Out of Corning. Go Michael Smith.
You know, and the thing I love about his music is it's got a little rock and roll built into it, and you and I are both of that rock and roll generation, so I totally dig his music.
And he's on our chat room right now. He's all, hey.
Yay, Michael.
He writes and he goes, hey, I know that guy.
Hey, and Michael, I know he's got CDs for sale, so maybe if he can chat back and give us a way to contact him if somebody wants to buy some of his music, because I'm telling you, it's all that great. It's great, great lyrics, super rock and roll music.
Absolutely.
So good.
Yeah, he's going to do the rally on the steps of the Capitol on April 18th that Tea Party United is doing. So if you're going to be in Sacramento on April 18th, you can go hear Michael Smith. Or you could just go down to the Corning meeting and hear him. Or you could special request him, and he could send us more music.
Yeah, he's great.
It's at patriotsmusic.com, as a matter of fact, because he just chatted it. He just put it in the chat room. Patriotsmusic.com is where you can hear his stuff, so it's very cool.
So you are joining We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about that
one. Yeah, and again, just we've got so much on our website. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how full of information that website is. I mean,
I've had a couple people say, well, we should switch it to a different, and I'm like, no. Are you kidding me?
No.
I'm not going to live long enough to make that transfer.
So speaking of his music, he brought in the fact that we've got to protect our property rights and water and all things associated. So the rally that was held last week in Siskiyou County, you were there.
Absolutely. On the 1st. Hang on. I can't believe it's the 10th of April. That was the 1st. It seems like it was 3 weeks ago.
Doesn't it?
Wow.
150 people.
About 150 people out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, if you've ever been to Scott Valley, you go to Wairika, you hook a left, and you sort of go southwest for another half hour.
And it's some of the most beautiful country I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic place. They have great big ranches and stuff, and the Scott Valley is beautiful. It's out by Fort Jones, just past Fort Jones. Anyway, it was their day to start irrigating. Mm-hmm. And so there was, the Fish and Game said that irrigation is a project, and they must have a permit to start their project. And it was going to be huge money and big problems, and they've been fighting this for quite some time. So anyway, it was sort of a little bit of a standoff. Well, they decided to make a rally out of it, so 150 people showed up. We had nine people from the group in Klamath Falls. They brought down the big giant Bucket Brigade bucket. And then, we had folks from Corning. We had people from Paradise, a hunk of people from Redding, bunches of people from the Wairika and Mount Shasta areas, and but like 30 or 40 of us piled on the back of a flatbed trailer. It was like one of those collegiate, how many people can you fit in a phone booth experiments?
Yeah.
And we drove up the road a couple, 2-3 miles, and turned on the headgate waters. And Mark Baird did a really nice job of explaining how the fish ladder thing works, fish screen.
Yeah, tell me about that, because you showed me a video of how that works and how it actually
I had great video on it, but the sound didn't come out. So I was going to put it on the website, but it wasn't as instructive as it could have been. They made the Fish and Game... It made them put these fish screens up, which sounds like screens on your window. I mean,
exactly.
Same idea, except it's like a funnel. The way the fish screen works, there are paddle wheels on both sides, and as the water goes through the paddle wheels, it runs brushes back and forth on the screen to keep debris and this and that. But all it really does is kind of catch the fish, mess them up, and kill them.
Yeah.
Then they are diverted so they don't get... They're supposed to be diverted, so they go through a tube. They go off a 6-foot drop and drop into a cement tank. So if they survive that, then they get flushed back into.
And so
this is ditch water.
Now,
this isn't a big river.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Fish and Game want to protect the fish?
Well, that was the idea.
They just put them through a fair ride.
They did. It was kind of funny we were talking about that. We're like, this is an e-ticket ride for fish. And they find him, dead periodically. And Mark said, he asked the Fish and Game guy, he said, well, do you want me to leave him here for you to come and take out of the fish screen? Or do you want me to flip him up on the bank when they're dead? And Fish and Game was like, oh, you go ahead and flip him up. So again, a little bit of interference there in something that's been... They've been irrigating for 150 years, and if they were going to kill all the fish, they'd be dead by now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're not dead by now. So anyway, it was a great day. People brought their lunches. The weather was awesome. They did some talks, and it was fun. And people from all over, everybody felt like they were part of it. It was
That's
kind of funny.
Awesome.
I had people say, well, but then they turned the water back off. I don't get it. Well, in order to do that with that fish screen there, they have to stand there for two to three days and keep clearing it out. Otherwise, the thing just bogs up. The water doesn't go down the irrigation ditch. It actually goes down the road because so much debris piles up on the front
part of it. So the solution by Fish and Game to a perceived problem actually creates a bigger problem.
Yeah, actually, they call it the fish killer. They don't call it the fish screen. They call it the fish killer. So... That was the water rally, and Fish and Game decided that they probably didn't need to show up, so that was good. They're probably just going to, you know, send them things in the mail and tell them that they're required to do it. It goes around again. Doug's got some legislation. Senator LaMalfa has legislation in on part of that use permit thing. It's kind of funny. It's bill number 665. And I'm like, 665, huh? Interesting. And he goes, yeah, just one step before the devil. I'm like, how do you get these great bill numbers? We have a bill number 351. He's like, yeah, you know, all these car numbers and stuff. I guess you can kind of pick your bill number if you, yeah, if you pay attention.
Yeah.
So 665, we're going to watch for that one. Stay it hasn't posted. Come up yet.
Okay, so...
we had a call about this next... Is it Monday? The sheriff's coming?
Yes.
Okay, they wanted you to talk about that a little bit, and then the supervisors about coordinating the supervisor meeting.
Yep, we already mentioned that. That's Tuesday morning at the Board of Supervisors chamber, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Yeah, definitely pack the place, because basically what's happening is there's a plan by some outdoor coalitions, you know, folks that like recreation, and they're attempting to put some, like 150 miles that kind of go around Mount Lassen that makes it possible for people to recreate. Everything from snowmobiling to cross-country skiing to riding bikes in the summer. And what they need is obviously...
Okay. Instead of supervisors
to work with them.
Instead of parking your car and hiking the 150 yeah. miles to the part you want to recreate?
Yeah, because that's exactly. Silly. So, you know, there's an ongoing attempt to shut out more and more of the recreational land in our natural forests to folks like us that want to do everything from camp to pack to hike, riding bikes, horses, you name it. And we need to bring our county supervisors into the mix to help us coordinate with the federal agencies so that we can continue to recreate in our national forests. So this is an important meeting. Sylvia Milligan from ROC, Recreation Outdoor Coalition, is spearheading this effort, and she really, really needs folks to show up for this meeting on Tuesday morning.
The road closure of the forest, for the people who are thinking, geez, I haven't been in a forest since I was a kid, it's just indicative of a larger problem. And all these problems, besides the fact, you know, there are legal remedies and all those things, the answer to most of this stuff, I always come back to the same thing. It's people. Mm-hmm. It's numbers of bodies. When public officials and when elected officials and when bureaucrats, and I don't care what kind of position that they're in, when they see large numbers of people coming out in favor of or against or just weighing in on and watching what's going on, things are different.
It's
different than everything happening in a vacuum like it's been happening.
Absolutely. And I think that the general public has the misconception that before they go to any of these public meetings that directly impact their life in this part of the country, they think they need to know about the issue intimately. They need to know the topic. They need to be able to speak to it intelligently. And that's really not true. You go to any of these meetings. But my point is that to wait until you know everything before you go is kind of a mistake, because that's the only way you will learn about the issue.
And all you have to do is go to one public meeting and you hear some of the things folks on the other side say, and you're like, obviously, you don't have to know anything to get up and speak.
Exactly.
We saw a lot of that yesterday.
And most things involve common sense. And when you've got some common sense, it's easy to get up and speak to that.
It certainly is. We just had a phone call. Apparently, Michael Prell has gone all the way to Europe and gotten sick. So he's safe. He's not been abducted or beamed up or anything. He didn't blow us off. So that's awesome too. He is sick, so we've got to re-thread him in, and so you know all about him now. At least you tune in in the future, and we'll double check that. We never had this before, but you know, I was telling these guys, I went to sleep this morning around 3:30, fairly common occurrence for me, and 4:30 I woke up like bing, and I'm like, oh, I just have this horrible feeling that we're gonna have to kind of just wing it today. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if it's a horrible feeling, but it was horrible that I knew it was true, and here we are.
Yeah, and you know, there's plenty to talk about. Another meeting I want to encourage people to go to. One of the things that we have learned along the way is that as the although it is important to go to the city council meetings and the boards of supervisors meetings, what we have to realize is that a lot of the decisions that come before the councils and the supervisors have already been made. And they have been made by other commissions and committees, such as the Planning Commission. So I really encourage people, again, there's a Planning Commission meeting at 4 o'clock on Thursday, and that's at the City Council Chambers. And the Planning Commission, they're all things planning for the city of Reading. And a lot of the things that they do precede the ultimate decisions made by the city council. So that's a good place to weigh in before the decisions have been made. Their meeting is at 4 o'clock, again, on Thursday, city council chambers. Then what you want to do is you just want to stay, because immediately after that is our city charter commission meeting. So there's plenty to do out there, folks.
Depending on the topic that night, it could be exciting.
Yes.
And we'll put in a blurb about the Charter Commission just right after our little break here. We're going to thank our advertisers and put in a little music from Caddyshack so you guys can get a cup of coffee. We'll be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. I do want to say that all of the folks that consistently show up on Monday nights and get involved are our heroes. I just want to say that.
In all the meetings on all the nights.
Everywhere.
Too.
I know. Absolutely. We've got them all over the place.
We're just like hogging up Reading tonight.
And I wanted to say that the music is fabulous, and you got to check out the three of us. We're bobbleheads. You could stick us in the dashboard of your car.
That's not good.
I mean, I just want to show you the visual of the three of us kind of bobbling here as we're listening to the music. It's really kind of entertaining, kind of cute.
Well, we're trying to put stuff on there that is not so sleepy.
So, Aaron, you are on the City Charter Commission.
Yeah.
Lucky person, you.
And every other week, sometimes it's more exciting than other times it's exciting. But
so
you
what,
know, okay, one thing. I was going to ask you, though,
the misnomers.
Well, before I do that, you know what? Yesterday there was a public meeting for the Redistricting Commission.
Mm-hmm.
The state We Draw the Lines Redistricting Commission that came out of Prop 20. And we didn't really find out about that until kind of in the middle of the week mm-hmm. last week. Didn't have a whole lot of idea of what they were doing or how to really prep for that or anything. But, you know, I have learned by being on that Charter City thing. I did something different yesterday than I would have done normally. I would have gotten up if I had something to say and just said it. But I actually was tardy because I wrote my comments. I put my name, I put my phone number, I put my email address, and I printed my comments. I printed 20 copies because I knew there were 14 people on the commission, and I knew that they would have other people. So I made 20 copies. I handed them out. We had a five-minute comment period instead of three, which was
nice.
But I printed them and handed them out and sat in the front row. And it was really interesting because later, when the actual official public comments had run out, when all the cards that people had taken out were done, they said, does anyone else have anything to say? And someone said something and, you know, on and on. And I raised my hand, and the guy who was the chair that mm-hmm. day, he looked over at me and said, yes, Miss Ryan, what would you like to add? And I'm thinking, okay, that tells me a lot. That tells me they would put a face with a name, with the paper, with the comments.
Uh-huh.
And I made my comments, instead of just a bunch of numbers and facts and figures, I made them experience-based.
So things that you have done.
Things I've done, like working for Girl Scouting, I worked on the coast. I worked in Eureka, but I handled also some towns here in the central part of the state.
So you know the differences between
counties. And I also
counties.
Handled like Chester and those guys way over there on the eastern part of the state. And then I also worked for Hines, and I handled the Northern California counties again.
Okay, so you
So
get
I
that.
Saw them from a nonprofit standpoint dealing with children, a business standpoint dealing with grown-ups, and So just the travel patterns, the communication patterns, the economic patterns, and those types of things really make a difference.
And
so
every county has a different county has a different economic base.
They do, and how we get connected and how we wind up divided, but how they wind up drawing these districting lines counts for a lot. There's some speculation that the outcome of the commission will wind up tied up in litigation. It may not count, but you know what? We ought to play to win and not count on
always.
So
they are coming back, and do we know when?
We do not. I do not have a date, but we'll get that to people because that is really,
and hopefully
really
we'll
important.
Have a little more notice because that is one where you may want to do a little research.
If you just searched "We Draw the Lines" online, you would find stuff for that. But it's really important to get smart about it. And this just in from Rally Sally on our chat room: there is no planning commission meeting this week. It was postponed to April 21st.
Thank you, Sally.
Also, this is not the week for Charter City. Yes, and I knew that. It's on April. It's not on April 27th. Is it on April 27th?
So everybody can take Thursday off.
I've got my calendar outside the room.
But I
here.
Do know there are school board meetings on Thursday night. So.
Bottom line is pick a day that's good for you. Pick a day and a time that's good for you and look around and see what meetings are happening that day. Because honestly, you know what sounds funky and what doesn't. You don't have to be an expert in the topic. If it sounds like they're doing something silly, I mean, I went to a public meeting. I think I've already kind of hammered this one. But honestly, they wanted to buy bikes for all the state workers so they could be healthier. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't have to be I didn't have to be a health and all policies expert to know that buying bicycles for state workers was probably not going to
be. So they take away their cell phones and they're going to give them a bike instead.
Uh-huh, and put showers in all the facilities. Don't get me started. I'll go
so
crazy.
So fiscally speaking, it was a wash.
It was a deal breaker. And could you see people in this county? Oh, yeah, I've got a meeting in Wairika. Let's get cracking, you know. We'll start yesterday. you see all our state workers will be all emaciated, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's all about healthy, right?
Good grief. We'll pack them all little lunches. We'll probably have to have a lunch packing commission, too. Hey,
so Charter City, before
we leave that.
So what is the biggest misconception that the general uninformed public has about a charter city?
The charter city, it's funny, the longer I serve on this thing and the more I read and the more I hear and the more comments that come in, it really comes down to, do you want choices or do you just want what California law has given us? So you either want choices or you don't want choices. And it has become very much about prevailing wage, you know, the panic of prevailing wage. Oh, my gosh, if I hear this phrase one more time, I'll probably go crazy. But if we mess around with prevailing wage, it'll be a race to the bottom. You know, we're all going to be poor because prevailing wage isn't being followed. Well, prevailing wage is required on federal and state moneyed projects, which are really a lot of them, bulk.
Yeah.
So it's just not as big an issue as it could be. But bottom line is it gives our city the ability to look specifically at we can't break state law. You know, we're not allowed to do that. But when it comes to municipal affairs, we become what's called home rule. And so we can make decisions for us that make sense for our town.
And we all know that occasionally the state will make a mandate that a county or city has to follow. Now it's up to the county or city to come up with the funding. So this allows us to not necessarily have to follow all state mandates.
Well, when it comes down to grant funding and some of those things, we would have sometimes more leeway in how those things are done. But when you look at, people get all worked up about, are we going to have a strong mayor, you know, which is basically an elected mayor. So you'd vote for city council people. So you'd vote for four of them. And then someone would actually run for mayor instead of having the mayor be kind of a rotating seat. That's not a given. That's in the charter.
The charter is
an option.
It's a la carte. You make the charter whatever you want it to be.
And then people have said, oh, well, if we want to make a change in the charter, then we have to have an election. True story. Once it's drafted and once it's voted on by all the citizens, it's not drafted and written and locked in by city council, it's done by, it could either be city council and voted on by the people, or it could be another commission. It could be an elected commission. It could be an appointed commission. There are all sorts of choices. Again, more choices. then it's voted on by the people. And then if there are changes, they go to a ballot. So, of course, then it came up, oh, well, we'll just be having, you know, election after election, a million special elections. It's going to cost us a fortune. Well, hey, big surprise. There's also a provision in the charter that the changes of the charter have to be done during normal elections, that you can't just have a bunch of random special elections, which would probably be a really good idea. There are all sorts of really common sense stopgaps. Then the other one is, what if they vote themselves crazy salaries like Bell California? Well, okay, Bell California, although, yes, they are a charter city, and their public officials were making gazillions of dollars there on city council at their own hand. I mean, they were voting themselves raises. Honestly, that can only happen when the people aren't paying attention.
Yeah.
And when nobody's watching,
and a clarification
they can do whatever they want.
I would like to make about Bell California. Bell California has become the poster child for all of those who do not want a charter city. They throw Bell California out there all of the time, and it's a little misleading because the fact of the matter is a huge percentage of the residents of Bell California work outside the city limits of Bell. They drive into L.A. They have, you know, an hour to 2 hours at the end of each day where they're driving to and from work. They've got commutes. That's why people weren't paying attention. That's a big part of it, is because most of the people that were holding down jobs worked outside the city limits. It was a time issue.
Well, the other thing, too, is they just had an election. An election here, I don't know, a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And they had less than 10% of their voting public showed up. So here, after all this drama, can you imagine in the city of Reading? I'm not kidding you. We're gonna talk about having an elected mayor, and the city council chamber fills up, and we have to have police in there.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Now here are these guys. They've wasted, you know, millions of dollars. These people have built the citizens out of. They have an actual election where they can throw them out, and hardly anybody shows up.
So that's sort of
kind of like you get what you deserve.
It's
at some
kind
point.
Of, you know, Bell California is a very unique situation in and of itself, in that the folks there just either are not interested in what's going on, or they're just incapable of getting involved due to lifestyle.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't live there. I've never even been there.
It's
but
just a different, from what I've read, it's just a different situation. You can't.
It's just not one of those things.
You can't paint a broad brush.
Yeah, you can't apply it to everybody. And so the charter is an interesting option that would give us some choices. It doesn't solve all the budget. Well, it's not a silver bullet. I mean, if there was a silver bullet, somebody would have, you know, used it by now.
It just gives us a little more freedom and a little more autonomy as an individual city.
Sure. There are great charter cities out there.
Sure.
And there are some that stink. But, you know, there are some great general law cities, and there are some really crummy ones, too. So you have, like anything else, it's kind of like if your parents weren't great parents, well, don't have kids. Really? Like, you couldn't be better? You know, you couldn't do a better job? It's just silly. It's an option. And to get worked up over one particular thing when the charter isn't, this commission isn't writing a charter. All we're doing is looking at the pros and cons and taking weigh-in from the public. But I get lots of email. They email it to the Charter City Commission. It goes to all the 10 of us, and then we all read it. But, you know, I look at that, and then when people get up and speak on those topics, that does stick with you.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of as a word to the wise, when you're going to weigh in on a commission, I would do it in paper, and I would do it verbally. And I would follow up that way, because that's how we process. You know, if we can put a face with an idea, it counts for a lot more. Hey, it's almost 9 o'clock. Yikes. Okay, you guys have 5 minutes to go get coffee and good stuff like that. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM. Give us a holler at 530-605-4567 when we come back. And you're listening to We the People, a product of the Reading Tea Party. You can find us online at www.readingteaparty.com. Click on radio and jump in on our chat room. So here we are, 54321. Nate's giving me the signal here. You're listening to Shasta Reading, the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. Hey, our chat room is on fire this morning. I think they kind of like the casual ad lib.
The Elizabeth and Aaron yucking it up hour.
Yeah, because you know, we started the show in October and we've never done that. True. We have never had...
We try to bring quality programming to our listeners instead of just chatting. Oh, yeah, hey, we've got Charles on line one. We left him hanging there over the commercial.
Thanks for holding on, Charles. Good morning.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, things like Bell and the whole prevailing wage issue, which seems to not represent so big a percentage of public works as some people on that side would like us to believe, they are raising that as straw man and as red herring to try to distract away from the real, the real issue of whether or not a charter should happen.
Yeah, somebody had written in here in the chat room, that whole thing is just a big red herring, and it's true. It's interesting. A lot of people came and weighed in the comments. Somebody counted out of the 40-plus comments that kept us there till after 11 o'clock two meetings ago, 22 of the stories were like sad stories about crisis and how they needed medical. And I'm thinking, well, we know people in the construction industry who provide medical for their employees. They would have had medical.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and I was at that meeting as well, and it's almost as though there really isn't any other argument for them. So they pull on the heartstrings and they bring the emotions to the surface and they tell sad stories about family members. And you know, as a completely private sector person, I sat there and I thought, every single one of us has a story. Every one of us has something in our family or in our history that is sad or emotional or, somebody struggled a little bit. We're all in the same boat. So to portray their side as though they're working harder, have it worse, have more needs, have more crises, it's kind of a weak argument.
Well, it's a way to derail everybody, and it's a way to get looking at something that is really a small factor. And tons of charter cities still pay prevailing wage. It's not an automatic. None of that's an automatic. What do you think's the best reason, Charles, for having a charter city? If you were going to be a proponent of charter city, what would be your selling pitch?
Well, one of the things that I have been using is the whole idea of civil service reform. I have sent in a report talking about the feasibility of having a charter with certain civil reforms in there.
So,
it's multiple pages long. We won't be able to talk about it in the space of a 5-minute phone call, I guarantee you that.
Hey, Charles, do you know, or Aaron, if you were to go to the City of Reading website and dig, is there a structure in there anywhere that shows how the city is laid out? I mean, do they have an organizational chart that's available to the public?
I don't know.
Do you know, Charles?
Since Reading is a general law city, I suppose you would have to go to the municipal code and to the California government code to find that out.
Because an organizational chart will show you how many layers deep,
yeah, exactly,
the city organization goes. I mean, I've seen city organizational charts from other cities, and it's just as clear as day. In fact, I believe Shasta Lake City has one, or the city of Anderson, and it's right there for the public to see, and it just shows you exactly how many people are under each division of city government, and you can see how deep it goes. Where you might be able to make some cuts. I mean, it's basically a roadmap.
Well, you can look, I'm on their website now, on the City of Reading website, and it has city departments, and it shows city attorney, clerk, manager, treasurer, so you can go to the different
people, but I just in a cursory look, I'm not seeing a whole big...
But, you know, if you're a visual person, yeah, organizational chart
I'm not seeing
wonderful.
A roadmap. There's probably one on here, and I just am not seeing it. We also... Hey, thanks for calling, Charles.
Oh, by the way, before yes? I go, somebody mentioned that a planning commission meeting was on... First was on Thursday, then was canceled, but when I checked the city website just, you know, yesterday after the redistricting meeting, what I saw was slated for Tuesday.
Okay.
So you might want to double check and make sure every, you know, the all information is accurate, because my information may not be accurate or someone else's, and so that something needs to be double checked.
Yeah, and the thing we've learned about all of these public meetings is they do get rescheduled, canceled. It's not uncommon. Always
right.
double check
but
before
still,
you get
if
your card.
Canceled, there would be a notice saying, you know, meeting scheduled for such and such day, such and such time has been canceled, and you know there would be a cancellation notice.
Right. I just threw a link up on the chat that shows, it takes you to a page on the city's website that shows administrative hearings, Board of Appeals, Community Services Advisory, Economic Development Planning Commission, Mosquito Abatement, the library, and the city charter thing. It shows all of them.
And I've got the Planning Commission description up. They meet the second and fourth Tuesdays of each month at 4 o'clock, City Council Chambers.
Right.
So there you have that. That's what we know. So, but yeah, it's the advice of checking before you go always counts, because
yeah.
you never know.
Yeah.
Things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so thanks for calling, Charles.
Okay,
we'll see you Monday.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thanks,
bye.
Charles.
Sally has on here on the chat. They also use victimology, which is what underdogma is all about.
Oh,
suspense.
Yes.
We'll find out
yes.
about underdogma later.
But still, I encourage people to buy the book.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You
don't have to wait until
I forced you to say absolutely, because I went but I didn't really say it.
Because Bill out there, he keeps
he
track of
how
many times
we
say
absolutely.
Yeah,
we're hooked
so
on it.
We don't have to sickness. Wait for us to get Michael Prell back into the United States and on our show. Buy the book.
Buy the book. And then he's just got to get well and get back in the country and blah, blah, blah. And our people apparently talking to his people was a loser. I never
yes.
do that. I always have their cell phone number. And on my way here in the morning, I call them to make sure they're up and they're happy and they're cheerful and they're calling us at the right time with the right number. Today was a, yes, anyway, fumble on the play.
And just real quickly, unless you've got something
yes.
that was just about to
roll off my
come
tongue.
Out of your mouth, just wanted to encourage
people.
People
are going, what are the odds of that?
You know that tax day is actually April 18th, which is a Monday. How weird on a Monday. But we are going to have a really fun Monday meeting on April 18th.
Yep, when in doubt, and tax day's been moved, and you know, are there on a Monday, and there's all that stuff. I mean, the stars are aligned for a hot dog barbecue.
Yeah, we're going to have a barbecue. And Bonneview Baptist Church is a heavily traveled area, you know, just right on South Bonneview Road. Great traffic, great visibility. So from 4 to 6, our folks are going to be standing out there with signs that tell everyone all of the positive things that they have done in the last year to make a difference. Should be super fun.
We're going to use it as a way to pitch to the public. For all the people who haven't gotten involved yet, maybe they'll see something on a sign that goes, hey, I want to know about that.
Yeah.
Rather than us being labeled as the people who hate taxes, we hate to pay taxes. It's like, we don't hate to pay taxes, we just hate to see them wasted.
That's right. Nobody minds paying their share.
No, we just hate to see them wasted.
So join us, because it should be a really
fun
evening.
And watch on the 15th, the 16th, the 18th. There's all sorts of stuff all over the state. All the different groups are doing things,
yep.
and we'll make sure and
you
have
can
those
plug in wherever you are. You can plug in.
Make sure have them up there posted. We'll be right back to you in a couple of minutes. Call in number is 530-605-4567. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
Never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers. Covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine.
Tell me lies. Oh, no, you can't disguise.
My head's bobbing again. Stick me on your dashboard. Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. You know, I could have jumped in a little quicker, but I thought we need to give everybody the benefit and let them listen to that.
To tell me lies. Well, we were going to be talking about the school system, so I thought that'd be appropriate, but hey, it's always fun.
You know, I occasionally get asked by my 7-year-old niece to come join her in her classroom.
Mm.
And I've done that, you know, half a dozen times over the last couple of years. And gosh knows, I would never say no. And so it's really interesting to do that, because you actually are sitting in a classroom and you see how things are done. And I have to tell you, I know this is probably completely irrelevant, but I was in her classroom
warning
2 weeks ago. And a great teacher. She's got an awesome teacher. But she's in second grade, and there were two little boys in there with pierced ears.
Yikes.
I know.
Huh.
One little boy had an orange shirt on with matching orange earrings.
Yikes. Okay.
Yeah. I told you it was irrelevant.
No, well, I wasn't that big of a free thinker when my kids were little. It was like, okay, you're not doing it. When you move out and you get a job, you can do it. That's it.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so we were talking about different public meetings, different things that were going on, and some folks had put in here that, here we go, Mike Smith writes in, an idea for the future, baseball games between Tea Party groups.
Hardball?
Yeah. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. I could see it. Wouldn't that be funny? Corning takes Red Bluff in the finals.
There you go.
I was just down in Red Bluff last night. It was cool. Sam Paredes from Gun Owners of California was down there speaking to a red, white, and blue dinner. You know, kind of great, actually. You get invited to a red, white, and blue dinner, it's not confusing what you should wear.
No, not at all. And did you?
I did. And it was fun.
Good.
You know, and these guys, gosh, you know, they just did a great program at the Veterans Hall down there. And I thought, you know, I had to do a little 7-minute blurb, and my pitch was, you know, how many people are not here? How many people do not know that these great events are going on with people who think like you in the community? It's not just the Tea Party.
No,
there are all sorts of other groups. I mean, there are all sorts of things going on in your town. So, you know, for the people that listen online and stuff like that, that are thinking, well, it's real nice that you guys have all this stuff going on, look around in your community and look at how maybe you could help them engage more of the public, because it doesn't matter if they're coming forward through Kiwanis or Rotary or the Tea Party or the Republican Women or whatever it is, but when we're headed toward 2012, mm-hmm. and I know everybody's, you know, becomes myopically focused on the presidential election, but you know what? We could use some help in California,
and,
big time.
Yeah, and
we got a tsunami from the wrong side this
something
time.
That comes to mind for me always is that if you look at your federal government or your federally elected officials, representatives, and you think, how did that person ever get there? Don't forget they started at the local level, literally.
Well, they also stay there at the, you know, at the local level. It was interesting. I always tell stories about my mom, but she, you know, she doesn't really plug into what's going on politically. She's got her hands full. And, you know, she wants everybody to basically be happy and get along and that kind of thing, which everybody does.
Sure.
However, she votes for things that are really kind of pie in the sky, which is the stuff that we sort of fight against because it wastes a lot of money. Sounds good,
yeah,
but
it really
is not pragmatic and wastes money.
Yeah.
So I was talking to her. You were looking. Elizabeth was looking online, and
yeah.
Okay, tell them what you saw.
All right. So we both have our laptops going when we're on the air, and I check Reading.com daily to see you know, what's going on in our community. It matters. Everything from, you know, planning to crime to everything. It all matters. And just this morning, I see that a man tried to steal a bus and stab a driver at the Rabba station. And then another Reading man chased his sister with a chainsaw.
And you should see the picture of him.
Yeah. And so I look at that and I think, okay, what has happened to Reading? Literally, if you think about it, every single day there is something like this in the news. And these are just the ones we hear about.
Right.
every day.
And then we had, the reason we were looking at this is, we had Assemblyman Nielsen. He was speaking last night, and he also spoke to our Tea Party group a few weeks ago, and he was talking about this realignment plan that the governor is proposing. And the realignment plan would, through a series of, I don't know, it's almost like fish and game, you know, through controlled release,
yeah,
they're going to let 68,000 felons out of prison. Well, gee. They're not going to a foreign country. I mean, they're going to be released here.
They're
going to
come
California.
They're going to go back to their own communities. And the problem with that is that it's then left up to the cities and the counties to figure out how to support them.
How to support them, how to work with your law enforcement, who's being cut back.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of these
less
things
police,
that aren't
more criminals.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's not being dealt with is going to come home and catch up with us pretty quick. Another reason to pull people together,
yeah,
to know who's on the team. I so, you know, to kind of click back into the thread about my mom, I sent her an update about that because I know she doesn't know that. We moved to California when Jerry Brown was almost not the governor anymore. I think he was on his way out. So we never really felt the full force of the blow. And my mom's like, well, he's been there before. He'll probably do a really good job. You know, he already knows how to do it. And I was like, ugh. So anyway, I explained to her about this 68,000 felons. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, Mom, if you guys don't have neighborhood watch going, she lives in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. I said, if you don't have neighborhood watch going, she knows a lot of her neighbors. I said, but you should have their home phone numbers and you guys should have an action plan. If you don't have that, you could find yourself in a lot of trouble. And she goes, well, that's ridiculous. Why would anybody do that? And I said, well, because the taxpayers have spoken. They don't want to pay more for all the waste, fraud, and abuse, and the legislature is unwilling to make cuts. So she, at the end of the conversation, said, do you think you could get me the numbers of my my representatives? Because I think I need to start calling them.
And, you know,
and I thought, hold
exactly.
on.
And the thing,
oh, it's
and
one
the,
person going to start making
absolutely.
Calls.
Absolutely. And the thing is, folks, that, you know, you can stick your head in the sand all day long and think that none of this applies, but things are not going to get better for a while, and it's all fiscally related.
It's just different. It's just going to change, and it's going to matter like it used to in the old days. We used to work together. If somebody's barn burned down, we went and helped them build it
again.
We're going to do that, only it's going to be a little different project. Hey, we're going to take a two-minute break here. Be back with your phone calls if you phone us at 530-605-4567. And you're listening to KCNR 1460 AM with We the People on the home of Free Fire Media.
Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're back.
Hello again. Hey, and hello again to, interesting, the timing of the music. Diane Lenning is with us.
Diane. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have had a fumble on the play all morning, so sorry you got caught in our fumble on the play here. Hey,
no problem. We
read your bio a while back, so people kind of know what's... you know, they have a little bit of information about you. We've got a half hour here. Why don't you give folks a kind of a snapshot on California schools and what you learned running for state superintendent of schools, or what you already knew and why you ran, I guess.
Well, when I ran for state superintendent of public instruction last year, California ranked 49 among the nation's schools, and falling and failing, and they're, for what I hear, possibly number 50 now. We have had a great influx of immigrants in the last 10 to 20 years, and so now we have over 50% of our students who are Hispanic, and that would be fine if they were legal and we were prepared and able to meet the need as students come in. However, we're just so impacted that we have had great difficulty with meeting the educational needs of our students. And our teachers have not been equipped. Our school system has not been equipped, both financially and with adequate supplies in order to meet the need. So we've had great difficulties here.
And how many people really understand the magnitude of that? When you went out and talked to people, did you feel like people were aware of that, or was that a news item for them?
Well, all of the people are aware of it because it's impacted everyone's local school districts. But it seems that those in leadership are reticent to talk about it, reticent to deal with the problems of it. And basically those in elected office, at least on the left side of the political spectrum, refuse to dialogue about it or to talk about any solutions.
So where do you see the school system going? If we keep going the way we're going, I mean, 50 is about as low as you can get. What does that mean for just, you know, regular old kids who just want to, you know, pack their lunch in the morning and go to school? What are their chances out there?
Well, unfortunately, it has taken our schools from number one to number 50, and other students are impacted by the reduction of the quality of education here. And people in jobs, businesses, and families have been leaving our state in droves in hopes of finding another state that more adequately meets their needs. And this is really unfortunate for everyone involved, for those who were here before the immigrants came and for the immigrants as well, because people are refusing to deal with the problems in a way that will meet the need.
Well, I know that the bilingual thing is a big issue because now we're not just English-Spanish. Now there's a lot of, spread on what bilingual means. Now there are many, many languages being added to paperwork and all those things. And same too with schools. So they're not being actually assimilated into our society. They're being separated and kind of kept in their own private bubble.
Well, there definitely are two views, but I personally believe that teaching in the language that they're going to be tested and they're going to use in society is a much more rational approach and more reasonable. It just seems to make sense that if you're going to be tested in English, that you should learn the curriculum in English. Not only does it put our young people behind if they're taught another language first, then the students have to learn all of the same curriculum again in English in order to pass. Just logistically and time-wise, that's going to put those students behind, which is unfortunate. And our education system in California is just not equipped to teach in other languages in the elementary grades. Now, in high school, all of the high schools offer other languages. And it is required now in California that we teach the curriculum in English. However, there are a few districts that can still continue to not abide by that, and those are the districts that score the lowest. So the testing continues to show that we need to teach our young people in English.
What's that? What's it doing for charter schools? Did you do any kind of homework on what's going on with private schools, charter schools? Is it causing a huge increase in that front? Is there a flight that direction? I guess?
And homeschooling as well.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
Yes, there appears to be a huge flight out of at least the lower performing public schools. The higher performing public schools, people are okay and satisfied with. But yes, I noticed a lot of people around the state talk to me about or ask me, do you favor homeschooling? And I said, I am for free choice in education because the importance of a quality education for our young people is what is a high priority. And if they need to do that to find that for their kids, I could support that. It is unfortunate that that's having to happen because I think public schools should provide the high quality education for every young person.
Now, Diane, in terms of the California legislature, how supportive are they of homeschooling? Is that something that is going to be on the rise, or are they going to try to side rail that?
They are not very supportive of it because those in elected office in control of the vote are sponsored and paid for by, among one of the unions, California Teachers Association Union, basically supported the election of the current superintendent and most of the Democrat legislatures, and they're going to do the bidding of the union, and the union is not generally in favor of charter schools, although they say with their mouth that they're okay with them. They would much prefer the public education to be the mode of education in California, and charter schools have shown that students are doing better. However, yes, there is that point that many of those students who go to charter school go because the parents want them to and are supporting their students, and the unions say, well, if parents supported our kids in our public schools as well, they would do better. Well, you know, there are two sides to that.
You have a lot of experience. When I spoke with you over the phone a couple of weeks ago, I was asking you about the union thing because that comes up a lot, and we've seen, I mean, obviously, we've all watched it on the news in Wisconsin. Teachers union really lit the fuse on that whole thing. What can you share with folks about that from a kind of an inside perspective on what's going on with the CTA in California?
Well, I was former chair of the Republican Educators Caucus of the National Education Association, which is the national caucus, and there is a caucus for each state who participates in the NEA. Not every state does on a measurable account, but it was very difficult to get much input from a Republican or a conservative perspective because the liberals control the unions, and especially California, which is a 1,200 member caucus of the 900,000 or so delegates to each national convention. CTA is the most liberal among the whole nation. And so you're like a lone voice in the wilderness, so to speak, trying to swim upstream to get your opinion heard. And yeah, they'll listen, but basically you have no ability to make much change that really counts. So what we would need to do to change that is to get all of our people elected into school boards on a local level. That's where people and parents can start right now. Start from each local district and get your people elected, which is not going to be easy because they have input and financial support into every local election in the state of California. So you can do it, though. And one way you can do it is to get two or three of your candidates on a slate and get their information out to every voter with slates, flyers, even if you have to walk them. That's how you can do it for not as much money. CTA has the money to send a flyer to every voter in the state of California, to every voter in the state of California. So that's what you have to get, a flyer into the hands of every voter. And if each district does that, then people can meet them on a level playing field in that way and win.
That's cool. Well, we often talk about that, and I think people go to school board meetings and it looks kind of boring and looks like they don't know what's going on. But how much of that is because the dynamic is kind of squashed because there's no real competition?
A lot of it is that, but it's also because they have the power and the control. And people who come in and talk only have 3 minutes each, usually. Well, you have to have the people on the boards to vote. It's the vote that counts, and it's going to take a real dedication over time, and you have to have a controlling vote on each board. If you don't have a controlling vote, you're just starting with one or two voices and getting your foot in the door, and then you work at getting other people elected with you.
Well, I think that we're seeing now more and more and more people going to public meetings, more and more people realizing where the policy is made, where the money is spent. That's a biggie.
Yeah, it definitely
is. That the money is spent there, that the school books are decided there, that all sorts of things are happening in a bit of a vacuum. A lot of these school board meetings, I mean, if you pack a school board meeting, it's a rare occurrence. Most of ours happen, you know, at weird times when people are at work and stuff like that. And I think it's one of those, if you live in a small district, I think it would be easier to run. But most of them run unopposed.
And if they would check the records of the vote, you can look at your county registrar of voters and find out the number of votes it takes to win. There is a history of all the elections. And you can figure out those in your district who lean more conservative. Usually it's not enough to win, so you have to also approach the middle voter. So that's why I say just get your flyers out to everybody and walk them. And it's an uphill battle. Going to the boards, remember, is only a place to start, because they will listen to you. Rarely will they vote against what they want to do. So you have to be real dedicated and just keep after it and get your people elected.
I think that's great advice, and
it definitely is.
I would imagine the numbers are pretty small. I mean, school board is one of those things where people go, I've never heard of that person.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not on TV, and they're not doing, you know, heated debates, and they typically don't have even signs around town.
No, well, not much.
They sort of pop up on the ballot. It says vote for three. There's usually three, and that's the end of that.
Well, the reason they're under the wire is because that is the plan. If people don't know what's happening, they don't vote. And those in power keep their power. And their basic method of winning is the CTA sends out a couple of flyers, usually a month before election, to get the absentee ballot voters, and then a few days before each election. And so if you do that too, and start walking the neighborhoods and talking to the voters, that's how you're going to have a chance to change things.
You know, and another thing that I think is a really good idea that they're probably really unaccustomed to is you find out who's running and you invite them to your meetings, whatever meeting you have, whether it's a Tea Party meeting or League of Women Voters or the Rotary Club or whatever, but get those people out in the public and puts them in a position where they need to answer questions to the public. I don't think that happens very often.
Well, good luck getting them to come, because they go to their own meetings that they schedule and don't invite other candidates to, because when they go to meetings with people of opposing view, they usually don't get their vote, or they don't look good. So try it, but don't be disappointed if it doesn't work. But do continue to try it. It's going to take real dedication. You start with the plan I said, and then add yours as well.
Yeah, and we would need, you know, ultimately a really good election has more candidates than it has seats. I mean, that's what you're supposed to have. You're supposed to have choices. And oftentimes, our school boards, we don't have, we barely have enough people to fill the seats. It's a thankless job. I mean, it isn't like, you know, it's got some big perks and it pays well or anything like that. It's a lot of work, and it's volunteer.
Yes. However, board meetings are usually once a month, and then sometimes you'll have phone calls, where you'll have conference calls or planning meetings, and you have things to read. So I don't understand personally why more people don't run. It's not as much as you think, as like city council meetings are much more time involved. So I would encourage people to run.
I think that's a great point. When we come back from our break, we'd love to hear more about the impact, especially of the union funding, the CTA funding and all the dues and all that stuff, because that's a little bit of a question mark for folks.
Yeah, maybe you can paint a picture so we can follow the money, Diane.
Yeah, we've all heard about it, and I know it's talked about a lot, and like I said, Wisconsin really highlighted it, but most people don't have any actual direct impact with that. So speaking of which, we will take off here for 2 minutes. We'll be right back with you on We the People. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
land. This is where we gotta make a stand. The stewards of this land are mom and pop. The government couldn't run us out of shop. I said freedom, freedom. Watch it slipping away. I said freedom, freedom. A little bit more each day. They say I want a revolution. I say you need to pay attention. Freedom is what fighting for.
Okay, right on, Mike Smith from Corning.
PatriotMusic.com.
Does he just put it out there? I mean, he couldn't spell it out any better.
No, and that's just one song. And we've got more.
And adding rock and roll to it. So welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We've got Diane Lenning on our show this morning, talking to us all things education in California. And Diane, when we left before the break, we were going to follow the money. You were going to tell us what exactly happens with union dues.
Well, about 10 years ago, I discovered as a state union delegate to the National Education Association that the unions spend about 98% of our union dues in politics on Democrats. Now, that's not 98% of the dues itself, but that they spend on politics. It's 98% of that portion of their budget. And that was appalling to me. So for many years, I fought to have more money spent on Republican candidates. And we got the movement, 2 or 3% down to 93 or 4, but it's back up to 97 or 8% since I retired a couple of years ago. And what they do is they use all that money to fund Democrats throughout the nation and affect almost every election from local to state politics in every state where they spend money. And they only support liberals or Democrats. And once in a while, they'll do an independent or a Republican just to say they can do it, I believe, or maybe left-leaning independent or Republican candidates. And in that way, they control all of the politics in the nation and in our states and local districts. And they support in every election, whether it be school boards, water boards, city council, county board of ed, mayors. When Mayor Villaraigosa ran for Los Angeles, he spoke at our convention, and they gave him $250,000 of our union dues money.
So in a nutshell, if you are a teacher and you pay dues, those dues don't make it back into the schools, into the kids, nor are they used to help you, the teacher. They are used to elect someone that you may not elect yourself.
Well, if they say they do, I don't know about it. I've never seen or heard about it talked, never seen it in a budget as a teacher, never heard of them giving any money. And I would often ask for, why don't you give us $1 million for things in schools? And when I campaigned, I suggested that they give money for Kindles to help instead of textbooks. We have real problems, especially with high school kids and keeping textbooks. Many are damaged in different ways, or kids wouldn't bring them to school. And so I had to have a classroom set of textbooks for all different subjects I taught, because I knew on any given day there would be some student in class without a textbook. And Kindles, I don't know if you know what they are.
Yeah, you do.
They're cool, but other people might not. If you'd tell them, that'd be cool.
Okay, it's a small piece of techie equipment about the size of a cell phone, or like an iPad, if you know what an iPad is.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a little bigger. But something a student could carry to school and have all the textbooks on one piece of techie equipment.
And you know, kids do take care of their electronics. Kids do take care of their electronics.
They love them.
Yeah.
And I know some people have said, oh, no, not that. But yet, it's better for every student to have a textbook in classroom. I use the textbook every day, and a good teacher usually does.
Well, I think that would actually be kind of a great idea. And you think about, I've seen some of these little kids, they've got these backpacks that are just
I mean, bending them, you know, they look like they're going mountain climbing. Hey, I know they have the little rolling things now, but since there are no lockers and a lot of the things that we're used to from school, especially lockers, a lot of those things have changed. And, you know, I never thought about it, but those Kindles would be great. You can put, I don't know, thousands of books on one of those, and it's easy to read. Looks just like the page of a book.
Well, a couple of remarks about that. I would suggest a larger screen, the iPads for the elementary kids. And there were questions about, oh, the publishers would lose money. No, they still get a fee for downloading the books. It's going to be cheaper, usually $10 to $20 instead of $150. But they would have less expenses in production of hardbound books. And they would still have some production because teachers would want classroom sets so kids could still have the touch and feel of a textbook.
But as far as going back and forth from home and as far as a teacher coming up with something else, you wouldn't have to have the grief of, well, we can't afford that, so I guess we can't use it as a resource. That's kind of a fun idea. I hadn't heard that before.
And for schools, oh, you cannot believe the nightmare we went through every year, the beginning and end of school, of getting textbooks checked out and textbooks checked in. It took quite a number of hours and days of the week to get that done.
I remember we used to have the first day of school, everyone had to sit there and wrap their books in brown paper. We had brown paper sacks. And,
right.
You know,
I did that.
Yeah, you had to cut the bottom out of the brown paper sack. Your books had to be covered by a certain date.
Oh, I remember that.
Remember that?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And now the books are kind of hammered. But
So Diane, quickly back to the union dues. How much does a teacher pay a year in union dues on average, and do they have a choice? Are they automatically deducted from their paycheck?
Well, each school district decides the exact amount, but as a general number, it is now about $100 a month for teachers' union dues. It could be,
wow,
you know, more or less than that, $10 to $20. A teacher can opt out, and there is a window usually in the fall for about 30 days in which you can opt out. I forget whether it's September or October, but there is a website, www.c10.com. It might be .org. That's the letters C as in cat, T as in Tom, E as in elephant, N as in network, w.c10.com, in which you can connect. Larry Sand happens to be the one who's running that organization. You can find out all about it, or the righttowork.org national website. They will help you with it at Right to Work, with how to opt out. Each fall you have that window. And I personally, the last few years, after they made it mandatory for people to pay dues, I opted out just the political portion. Therefore, I could continue to work in my professional organization on par with other teachers. The thing is, if you opt out, you are no longer able to vote and be in text workbook consortiums for your district. And I chose to have a voice and have a part in the decision-making.
And Diane,
as an educator,
do you have a percentage number on how many teachers, let's just say in the state of California, do choose to opt out?
Well, there are about 330,000 teachers. It changes every year. And there, the last I heard, there were about 30,000 who opted out, but I suspect it's more than that now. And there are alternatives that you can choose if you do want the insurance. CEAI, I think, is one of them, if I got the number right. If you just contacted Larry, he could give you those two organizations through the C10.org website. And find out.
And it's actually C10.com.
C10.com.
Yeah, because C10.org is something totally different.
Okay, good.
C10 is commissioned to every nation. It's a it's a missionary website.
Okay.
So.
Well, it is good to have that insurance. Teachers need liability insurance nowadays, but it's only about $4 a month that you pay for it through the traditional, like NEA.
And so, you know, if we could get some of that stuff straightened out, you know, with the money and how the elections are going and how the schools are being supported, we could get a lot more money down to the level of the kids and to the level of the teachers.
Well, it's really disappointing to me that the CTA spends $1 million on an issue, and they do almost every election cycle. That is usually a left-wing position, that they'll spend $1 million on one issue or one initiative. And they have about 600 people out of 330,000 teachers who vote to spend the money that way. And then they are very good at weeding out those who will not support them in being elected to that group of individuals in the state convention.
Interesting. Well, I think that I think that we've got a lot to learn about the education system as far as how to plug in, how to get involved, and again, another problem solved by adding more people to it. More people get involved from outside the system, running for school board. They don't have to be parents of kids necessarily, but just people who want to make a difference and want to change the dynamic of that. It's going to be incredibly important, and I know that's why you ran for superintendent. We're pushing up here on the last minute, but what would you say to people about that race? Did you enjoy the process of running a statewide race?
I enjoy it very much. Of course, I love politics and education, and having been a history and government teacher, fortunately, I knew how things worked, and I was able to get into all the forums the Democrats did where no other Republican or conservative who ran for office were able to do that. And so I was on NBC and at the Sacramento forums and did very well. But quite honestly, it was stacked against me.
And so now you're in law school.
Right.
How much more time do you have there?
Well, I have another year and a half, and I should be finished, and then I'll have to study to pass that.
What's your focus going
to
be?
I am hoping to go into court to help the different agencies like Pacific Justice Institute.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, Diane, it has been fabulous having you on this morning.
Thank you very much.
Sorry about our little time puzzle. They're going to cut us off here in a minute and go to news and another program. So
may I just give my contact info?
Oh, yes, please. It's online, too.
Yeah, my email is diane@lenning.com, D-I-A-N-E at L-E-N-N-I-N-G.com. That is the best way to get in touch with me.
Great.
And I have several websites, dianelenning.com and Lenning School Watch. I've started a new blog talk radio show the first Wednesday night of each month at 8 to 8:30 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com.
Great. Cool. Thanks,
and
Diane.
Do me a favor, Diane. Email me that, and we'll put it online for folks. We are going to...
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure today talking with you.
Great.
Thanks. Have a great day. All right. We'll be back with everybody next week. We're talking about political Islam. It ought to be interesting. And we've got a little theme music for how to fix the school systems here on KCNR. We the People Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
Dreams that you dream of once in a lullaby.